and here to help me break down some Buckeye football and some Buckeye basketball from the Unscripted Ohio Podcast Network, also from Locked On Buckeyes, Kyle Lamb. Kyle, how are you today, man?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. You are, like, I can't tell you how many times I've been told in the past month to hashtag stick to sports. So here you are offering a platform that we can actually stick to sports. I love it.
Well, I do my best. You know, talking about COVID-19 day in and day out, it's it can get a little depressing at times. So, you know, we'll stick to sports for now.
I'll try to bring the optimistic view today so that the Ohio State fans have something to look forward to this fall. And yes, I did say fall because I think football is going to be played. I don't know in what form, but I think it's going to be played. So I'm going to try to cheer people up today.
Hey, there we go. Fans, no fans. I'm sure people will take football in the fall in any capacity. Well, let's start there with football. Looking at the 2020 class, you got some receivers, Fleming, Scott, C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, Paris Johnson on the line. Six of the top 100 prospects on 24/7 Sports are Buckeyes. How excited can Buckeye fans be for the offense this year?
I saw ESPN, and I know before anybody says, yes, it's ESPN, so if you want to stop right there and say, yeah, well, this is ESPN we're talking about, I totally get it. But the ESPN projections have the Ohio State offense by far projected through their FPI as the number one rated unit in the country this year, and I think they had it, I want to say, 5 points better than Clemson, which was second. So on paper, this Ohio State offense has a chance to be really, really good. And a lot of it will be helped, and I know this was a topic you're going to bring up, but Trey Sermon, the transfer coming in from Oklahoma, that was like the perfect addition for what Ohio State needed, because losing J.K. Dobbins to the draft, having two running backs that are hurt, Master Teague, Marcus Crowley, who looked really good in spots as a freshman, but he's hurt also, not knowing the status of those two and how healthy they would be once the season started this year, getting kind of an angel falling from the heavens right into their laps like Trey Sermon, that was just the perfect addition for what they needed. So that line with those guys coming back and all those skill players and Justin Fields, yeah, on paper, man, that offense could be really, really good.
Is the rushing attack expected to take a big step backward? You just mentioned Trey Sermon there. We know the Master Teague situation, and if I'm still unsure exactly how much time he's expected to miss. But what can we expect from that running back group for the Buckeyes this year?
Well, if those three are healthy, I don't think there's going to be any drop back. Trey Sermon, when healthy, and for those that don't know Sermon's situation, a little background here. He was the starting running back at Oklahoma going into last year. He had some injuries, little inconsistency. They decided to make him the backup to Kennedy Murray, and then he wound up getting hurt, so he missed the rest of the season. And so he decided to transfer, not knowing if he was going to get the starting job back. But he's a really talented guy. He rushes over 6.5 yards a carry for his career at Oklahoma. He was a guy that actually Ohio State thought they were going to land out of high school originally. He almost committed to Ohio State. Wound up at Oklahoma. This is a really talented kid. With the Ohio State offensive line coming back in large scale like they are, I think 80% of it, and you throw him into the mix, especially if Master Teague is able to get healthy, and Crowley getting healthy would be a bonus as a third running back, that stable of running backs right there could be really, really good. Ohio State's running game was just devastatingly good last year, up until I think the last few games of the season where they had three top 10 defenses they were facing. I think they were averaging 6.5 yards a carry as a team. I think it fell just a little bit at the end. But I think they can be in that range this year, 6.5 yards a carry as a team, and I don't expect much of a drop-off there.
Buckeye offense expected to be good as ever in 2020, according to our guest here, Kyle Lamb from Unscripted Ohio, the podcast network, also from Locked On Buckeyes. Kyle, on the other side of the ball now, defensively, you know, a lot of guys to replace, looking at Chase Young, Okuda, even, you know, guys like Damon Arnett. Is that side expected to fall off? Or do they have a nice sort of, you know, plug-and-play system in place where they're going to have, just as good of a defense, or hopefully near as good?
I think it has to fall off a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a big drop-off-the-cliff type thing, but there's no way they can sustain the type of success they had. Last year's defense, I looked this up. This is, you'll find interesting. I compared every Ohio State defense they've ever had in terms of points per drive allowed in the context of how many points are scored in college football. Last year's Ohio State defense was actually the best all time that they've had, at least going back to, I think, 1970 is when I did it. So it was a really, really good Ohio State defense last year, allowing 1.1 points per drive, really dominating. I don't think it can sustain that pace this year. Just Chase Young, when you're talking about one sack for every 10 dropbacks, which is an insane number.
Yeah.
I don't think they can sustain that with Chase Young gone, Jeffrey Okuda gone, Damon Arnett, who really stepped up, had a great season. But the addition, or the, I should say, Sean Wade returning to Ohio State, I think the secondary is still going to be good. There's some depth issues there that they're going to have to look out. I mean, how deep are they going to go if they have injuries at corner? We don't know yet. And who will replace Chase Young? I don't think you can replace him. But Jonathan Cooper back for a senior season. Will he step up? Zach Harrison, how good will he be as a sophomore? There's definitely some talent there. I don't think that they can sustain what they did last year, but it'll still be a good defense.
Well, that's good to hear. I figured Buckeye fans were a little spoiled last year with the way the defense was able to perform. Again, what was the year, 1970? What, it was the best defensive unit since?
Well, it's the best defense that, going back to like 1970, in terms of points per drive, adjusted for the scoring environment of college football in each season. So 1.1 points per drive adjusted to a normal scoring output for defense. That's the best Ohio State defense that's been, at least going back to 70.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Before we move to basketball here, legitimate shot at another college football playoff run for the Buckeyes?
Oh, I definitely think so. I think if you look at any projection right now, you'd have to put them in the top three for sure. I would probably put them, I think going into the country, I would put them number one. I know people will say, well, you're a homer. I really believe that. I think the offense is going to be that good. I think defense will be good enough. I think it's Ohio State 1A, Clemson 1B. You can put them in any order. I think Alabama's going to have a really good team. I think people are overlooking Mac Jones, who I think will be the starter this year. I know there are some people that are, you know, kind of looking at the depth chart, and some of the guys that they've got coming in are really good. I like Mac Jones. I thought he did a pretty good job filling in last year for Tua. So I think Bama's your third one. And the fourth one is up in the air. Who knows who's going to step in that fourth spot? But I think those are the three you have to project, at least on paper, for the college football playoff this year.
Kyle Lamb, our guest here from Unscripted Ohio Podcast Network and Locked On Buckeyes. Moving over to the hardwood here, talking some Buckeye hoops. Is there reason to worry about Chris Holtmann and friends down there in Columbus? We saw a number of, I guess, incidents last year, for lack of a better term. A couple of suspensions, Luther Muhammad, Dwayne Washington, both sitting out for some time there last year. Muhammad actually transfers out along with DJ Carton. You had some bad stretches of ball last year as well. Is everything okay down there?
You know, that's a tough question to answer. Look, anytime you have that many departures, you can't say everything is perfect, right? And, you know, there's clearly some things going on behind the scenes. And I will say this, I really think they had a roster full of really good kids that just had really different circumstances. And I don't want to go into the specifics of some of the stuff that I know about. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think you have various things. You have one kid, you know, struggling with some off-court issues with mental health. Another kid, people in his ear thinking he's better than he is. And then another kid just having, you know, some issues as far as fit and getting things done, you know, off the court. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I don't want to say everything is perfect, but I just think each case is kind of its own deal. And I don't think that there's a lot of overlap there as to a bad trend with the program. It's unfortunate. They had really, really high expectations coming into this year. Interestingly enough, I still think this team has almost the same ceiling it had before, believe it or not, because of some guys, some of the guys coming in. I really like this roster. It's going to be really loaded on the wing, and I think it's going to be as deep a wing talent as they've had since probably the Conley Cook Oden team.
Wow. That's a bold statement. Well, let's get into that then. Let's look at some of these new guys coming in. You got the transfers, Seth Towns, Jimmy Sotos, Abel Porter, I believe Michi Johnson, one of the big recruits coming in next year as well. You know, what exactly stands out about next year's team that leads you to believe that they can sustain a high level of success?
Yeah, this coming season is going to be interesting because you've got Seth Towns, as you mentioned. He's from Columbus Northland, went to Harvard, was the Ivy League Player of the Year a couple years ago. He's missed the last two seasons because of injuries. They think he's going to be healthy this year. Obviously, when you have two straight knee injuries in consecutive seasons, you have to be a little bit cautious of whether or not he's going to have a full successful season, but he's a really talented kid, good shooter, can get to the rim. He's not the most explosive kid in the world, but he's a versatile, rangy defender, 6'7 range. He's a guy that Ohio State fans are going to love watching play if he's healthy. But don't forget Justice Suing, man. He's a guy that was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year a few years ago at Cal. He sat out this past year, was at Ohio State, actually had a foot injury in the middle of the season where he had to sit out the rest of the year in practice. But actually, Chris Holtmann said back in December, Suing was the best playmaker on this team. He just wasn't eligible to play this year. So he's going to be a guy, he can get to the rim at will, really good passer. He's another 6'6 guy that will fill in and be a scorer instantly for Ohio State. So when you add those guys in with E.J. Liddell, who's going to be a monster this year, and Kyle Young and C.J. Walker, who played well, Dwayne Washington, a couple guys that I like coming in, Eugene Brown and Zed Key, are freshmen. There's a lot of talent on this team. There's no question. Losing Caleb Wesson definitely hurts. Mm-hmm. D.J. Carton will not be there to be a backup point guard. So it's not that they're not without some flaws, but they've got a lot of talent coming back.
I'm so glad you mentioned E.J. Liddell. Oh my gosh, Kyle, I absolutely love E.J. Liddell. I love his game. He's kind of like an upgraded Kyle Young to me in terms of his ceiling and what he'll be able to do. I still think Kyle Young holds more value, or at least held more value last year. But I really love what E.J. could turn into.
Liddell really started scratching the surface at the end of the year, didn't he? He came on, was getting really confident, looking for a shot. He's got a great mid-range. He finishes well at the rim. Good rebounder. Really came on as a defensive player at the end of the year. The ceiling is the limit for E.J. Liddell this year. I mean, he's a guy that could average 15 points, 10 rebounds at Ohio State before it's all said and done, whether it's this year or maybe if they get another year out of him next year. He's going to be a monster in the Big Ten. So I look for him to take a step forward and be an all-Big Ten type of player this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kyle, two more real quick here for you before we let you go. One more basketball-related question. What's up with Musa Diallo? I know he sat out all of last year. I believe it was an injury, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he'll be back. He had arthroscopic ankle surgery. They knew of the problems in the early fall. They waited to see if he would get healthy. They were hoping to get him back in January. They realized he was still not ready to get back, so he opted to have the surgery, which ended his season. But he will be back this year. They expect a lot of contribution out of him, probably coming off the bench. But he's going to be a defensive player, a guy that rebounds. His scoring was really coming on in the summer last year, from what I understand. So they're hoping that he'll take a step forward offensively and be a contributor when he's on the floor, and so that they're not playing 4-on-5 sometimes. But he's a really good defensive player and rebounder, so I think he'll contribute. He'll definitely be in the rotation this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see him get back out there. I loved what he brought 2 years ago. I thought he could have taken a big step forward last year. Obviously, it didn't happen because of the injury, but looking forward to what he'll bring in 2020, 2021. Kyle, we'll close on this, and it's a bit of a running bit I've had for today's show. I've been asking people to message me on Twitter and give me a play or a game that you think really defined or changed a legacy in sports. Could be Buckeye-related, could be not Buckeye-related. I know, before we started the live recording here, we were talking about you did some prep work for this and we're going to be caught off guard. Well, I think I got you here, Kyle.
Well, it would be totally cliche if I said the Jordan buzzer beater against which one, right? The one against the Jazz, since we're all talking about The Last Dance. But, good grief. I want to say, you know what, for me, like that took the LeBron James, since we're going from Jordan to James so much, right? We might as well stay on that topic. I think LeBron James scoring the last, 23 points against Detroit. Yep. In his, his third season in the playoff series to get them to the finals against San Antonio. To me, I think that's what took the legend of LeBron James to the next level, because here you have this kid that had, just his third, fourth year in the NBA, had no help around him, and single-handedly just destroyed a team, a really good defensive team. I think, to me, that's what stands out for his career, because that kind of said, I think we knew the hype was legit, but I think when he did that, that was like, oh, man, this kid is for real. So for me, I think that's what stands out, not having any time to think about this ahead of time.
Hey, no, that's a great one right there. It was basically a kid taking down a bunch of grown men that had established themselves as quite a dominant force in the NBA with the, the Wallaces, Rasheed and Ben, with Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, Chauncey. It was quite the Pistons team that LeBron had to overcome, and he found a way to do it.
Really amazing. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do much against San Antonio the next round. But, for him to get them there, that was really impressive.
Couldn't agree more. Kyle, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes out of your day to talk some Buckeye hoops and football with me today. Great stuff as always. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, there he goes. Kyle Lamb from Unscripted Ohio, the podcast network, also host of Locked On Buckeyes.